We have a very hurting world around us, and many of us are those hurting. And today I want to talk about that. This is not my title, but I think it's going to help to answer some of the questions that we have when we're hurting. I think sometimes you and I know that we're hurting, but we're not really sure what to do. And today I've decided to take my sermon from 2 Kings chapter 20. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 20. I want to be a part of a church and a church family that doesn't just address the needs of the hurting on a Sunday morning with prayer, but I want to be the kind of church that on Monday morning, and as our team was this weekend on Friday night and Saturday morning, is there to do what we can do. We can't do it all here at Dominion Church, but we can do our part. And you know, this morning as you heard that testimony and you heard the opportunity in March that you're going to have and that we're going to adopt two different churches and help them do a makeover in their building so that those buildings will be able to facilitate their vision to reach the hurting and the broken. If you've heard something that's moved your heart and you would like to financially do your part and be a part of that, then just mark your envelope, missions or makeover. Church missions or makeover, and we'll make sure that those monies are spent on helping people find what to do next when they're hurting and broken. As we began this year, I focused my teaching on the subjects of how God can and how God will make all things new in our lives again. I also centered my remarks on how He wants to be the one person in our lives that we put all of our faith and all of our trust in. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, He says that if we trust in Him with all of our heart, and lean not into our own understanding, but acknowledge Him in all of our ways, then He will make our path straight. We practiced that this morning. In fact, this morning, we experienced the feelings that come when things in our life are stirred up. And today, we're going to learn how to stir things up. That will be the title of my message, Stirring Things Up. In fact, many of us sat through the service this morning or stood through the service this morning, and we knew something unusual was happening. Some of us may have experienced that for the very first time in church, and it left us feeling somewhat uncomfortable because we weren't sure what to do. But what few could disagree with is that something unusual was happening. God allowed His presence to be seen, felt, and experienced. God stirred things up. Many of us step forward in our lives. Maybe we didn't come to the front, but we step forward in our lives and we said, Lord, this is a time in my life that I'm going to have to trust in You. There are some things that have left me hurting. I'm broken. I'm disillusioned. I see no way out. What do I do now? I know I have this pain. I know I have this problem, but what do I do, Lord, when everything in my life seems to be stirred up? See, some of us stepped forward and said, Lord, not only will I trust You, but I'm not going to lean on those things I can't fix any longer. I'm not going to lean on my ability to try to figure it out and answer it. But what I'm going to do is instead take a step forward and start trusting in You. I'm going to lean on You in times of trouble. And God, I'm hoping that today what I felt was Your presence, and that by the end of this season, Your presence will have made the paths in my life that seem very broken and very crooked straight again. In fact, I think this is God's promise for this year. And I think God's promises are yes, and I think they're amen, and I think they can even begin right now. I don't think God lives on the layaway plan. Now, as a kid, we grew up that way. My mom would take us down to Woolworths, a place called Rasco's, a place called Sears and Roebuck, because back then it was and Roebuck. I don't know what a Roebuck was or who Roebuck is. But we went to Sears and Roebuck and Montgomery Ward, and we would do our school shopping. And my mom would have a cart for each of her three children. A cart for my oldest sister, the false prophet, my little sister, the beast, and then her son, the ma. And so she would fill each one of those carts. And I longed for the day that we got to check out in the front of the store, because we never got to go to the front of the store. We always had to go to the back to customer service. Because in customer service, you gave them everything you were hoping to get out, make a withdrawal, and get a release in your future. and you put a deposit there in hopes that someday that would be in your life. Oh, those days when we would go to one of those stores and make the withdrawal. By that time, the clothes were out of style. And by that time, because I loved food, they no longer fit. And I'm not against hand-me-downs. But when you get them from your biggest sister, life's hard for you. That's what we did this morning. Many of us thought in terms of how we would like things in the future. And in prayer, we made a deposit. With faith, we took steps and said, someday, God, I hope to see this in my life. I hope to wear joy again. I hope to wear healing again. I hope to wear hope again. But Lord, even though this is a new year and I've broke all my resolutions by day two, it'll be a while for me. And that's just what the enemy wants you to think. God wants you to think his promises are yes and amen today. He wants you to take the most important step you'll ever take in your life, and that is the step right now, your next step towards him. He wants you to believe with a now faith. Hebrews 11 and verse 1 of now faith. Go sit down, Bugs Bunny. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Now faith. Now faith. That's one of the most important things you'll ever do in your times of trouble is go back to having a confidence in faith now. I'm going to do something right now that stirs things up in my life. And not just things, but I've got to stir God up in the middle of my things. So God's promise for the new year is simply this. I'm the one that you can depend on. I'm the one that you can count on. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will never betray you. In your time of trouble, tie yourself to me, take a leap of faith, and watch me do what I do best. And that is, I make the paths in your life straight again. Sickness has been in the way. It's caused you to take a detour. Discouragement and depression has been in your path, and it's caused you to take an alternative route. The doctor's report, your spouse's report, your check that covers 24 of the 30 days of your month has caused you to make a detour. But the Lord is standing in that crooked place of your life. He's standing at that exit that you're tempted to take and take a detour. And he's saying, I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm not just a life. I am the life. Don't get off on this exit. Stop right here. Stop right now. And watch me do what I do best. And what is that? I can see this series is making a profound difference in our lives. What is it? He makes our paths straight. What's the shortest distance between two points? A straight line. Now, I got to tell you this that I've learned about God. God is never early. Has any of you ever found God to be early? And judging by the show of no hands. But what's hard for me to imagine, God is never late. But it sure looks that way. It sure feels that way. When I'm hurting and I'm broken and I don't know what to do. And everything in my life is stirred up but God. And that's what you and I need to know, is how to stir God up when everything in our life is stirred up and brokenness and pain, our brokenness and our pain is all around us. I found this to be true about us, that when you're hurting, it's minor surgery. When it's my hurt and I'm hurting, it's major surgery. Have you noticed that to be true? Turn and look at someone and tell them, you're in the minor leagues. If you knew what I was going through, baby, you would be big time. Because if they put my hurt on ESPN, I'd make the top three plays of the day. I'm a player. Okay, so you should be at 2 Kings chapter 20. Beginning in verse 1, it says, "In those days, King Hezekiah became ill and was at the point of death." Things don't look so good when you're at the point of death. Death is pointing at him, saying next. The prophet Isaiah, son of Amoz, went to him and said, "This is what the Lord says. Put your house in order, because you are going to die. You will not recover." Now, that's not the kind of report you ever want to hear. Not from the doctor, and certainly not from the Lord. What don't you understand about this verse? You are going to die. You will not recover. Now, maybe we've never heard that report on the outside, but I bet every one of us have heard the enemy's voice whisper in the middle of a circumstance, and we've heard him say, "You are going to die. You're not going to recover. Your marriage is not going to make it. Your finances are not going to make it. Your hope is not going to make it. Your children are not going to make it." Though we've never heard it on the outside, we battle those kinds of thoughts and ideas on the inside, and that's why they call him the enemy. So this is what Hezekiah does. Obviously, verse 1 probably stirred things up in his life. Would you agree? Now, if you're visiting for the first time, we're very much a studio participation type of church. If you didn't bring an amen and need one, just borrow one. Because that makes Pastor go faster, and then he gets done faster, and we're eating faster. Last time he let out before 12:15, we had a revival, so bring your best amen. Now, we're taking a random poll, but how many of you would guess with a raised hand that if you were told you're not going to live, you're going to die, you're not going to recover, put your things in order, it would stir some things up in your life? So you have a point of reference with what King Hezekiah just heard. So this is what he does, and this is key to look at, because this is what stirs God up in his life. Hezekiah turns his face to the wall and he prays to the Lord. Or in the previous sermons, I would have said it like this. He tied himself to the Lord, took a leap of faith, and he said, "Remember, O Lord, how I've walked before you faithfully with wholehearted devotion, and I've done what is good in your eyes." And then it says that King Hezekiah wept bitterly. Before the prophet Isaiah had even left the middle court, the word of the Lord came back to him and said, "Prophet, go back and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, this is what the Lord, the God of your father David, says. I have heard your prayer, and I have seen your tears, and I will heal you. On the third day from now, you will go up to the temple of the Lord, and I will add 15 years to your life, and I will deliver you and this entire city from the king of Assyria, who is your enemy. I will defend you, and I will defend this city for my sake and for the sake of my servant David." He did something that stirred God up. And God stood up for him. That's the kind of God I need to know, serve, and have at my disposal. There comes times in my life where circumstances kind of scream out and say, through a spirit of fear, "Pastor Greg, you're going to die. You're going to look embarrassed. You're going to look goofy if you guys buy that land and then can't pay for it." You have the same kind of things. "You're not going to recover. Your faith's not going to be enough. You're going to look foolish." See, there are those moments in my life, and it's nice to know that I can tag out. "Hey, God, I've wrestled this guy as far as I can go. He's off the turnbuckle and he's headed towards me. I need you to tag team with me and come in and absorb the blow. Because if he lands on you, I'll still be alive." Remember, God, you're the living word. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. It is awesome to know that in the midst of tough times, I can stir God up. That when the enemy stirs things up in my life, there's some things I can do to stir God up, and that I can tag out with him, and he'll step forward and on my behalf say, I am going to defend you. I'm going to defend this church. I'm going to defend this city, because it's not just your name and reputation on the line. Ultimately, it's my name and it's my reputation on the line, and I'm a big boy. I've been here before. 2,000 years ago, I whooped him once, and today I'm going to whoop him again. And when I get done whooping him, I'm going to whoop you, because you're evil, Greg. Some of you are like, yeah, welcome to my world. Okay, I'm a little excited. I know that. But see, I'm excited because we see here how in the worst of times when things get stirred up, God can and will make things new in our life again. How in a time of turmoil and trouble, King Hezekiah surrenders control of his life. How he turns to the Lord. He takes a leap of faith and he trusts in him. In that moment, King Hezekiah has to surrender control. He's been sitting on the throne, not just of God's people as a king, but he's been sitting on his own throne. And he's found that he has his back now against the wall. And what's a man to do when his back's against the wall, fighting for control of his life? Here's what we do.
I have decided to give you this.
Really?
Yeah.
You know whoever sits here makes all the decisions, right?
I know, and I'm always making decisions, but you make the perfect decisions, so you just sit right down and start making them.
Wow, I'm honored. I mean, this feels great.
Kathleen, guess what? I just got my new credit card. It's time to go shopping.
Oh, really? I thought your husband and you were going to pay off debt.
Oh, yeah. I mean, money's kind of tight, but I figured he doesn't have to know about it. So do you want to go with me?
No.
No?
Why?
What I mean is, I don't know. So let me check my schedule, and then I'll get back to you.
Okay, yeah, give me a call.
Okay.
Kat, what's going on?
What do you mean?
Well, I'm kind of one-cheeking it here. Look, I just want to make sure we're on the same page. You wanted me to sit here, right?
Well, of course.
And whoever sits here makes all the decisions?
Right.
So what's the problem?
There's not a problem. I don't know what I was thinking. Really, please, here, sit down.
As long as you're sure.
I'm sure.
Okay. So, let's start over.
Okay.
All right. Kat, I noticed that you've been losing your temper a lot lately.
Right. So, okay, Jesus, you know what? I know what you're going to say, but, see,
you
don't know the whole situation, you know?
Oh, well, all I'm saying is that your attitude is a decision.
Yes, of course, but I have a lot going on right now.
Well, I know you're under a lot of pressure.
Pressure? Jesus, you don't understand pressure, okay?
This isn't working, Kat.
What?
We can't both sit on the seat. It's either me or it's you.
Okay, I know. You know, I didn't think it was going to be this hard, but here, just take it.
No, I'm not going to take it. You have to give it to me.
Okay, here.
Kathleen, make a choice.
I can't.
You just did.
Wow. Who's on your throne? Who sits here? King Hezekiah finally ran up against something in his life. His back's to the wall. He had to figure out who's going to have to sit there for me to live and not die. Friend, do you know that every day we determine living and dying in our life? Every day you're living or dying. Many of us wake up to live. Others wake up to live one more day of dying. The Lord says, you know, to live a life of abundance and fruitfulness and a life with my blessing and favor, you're going to have to wake up, and every day when things are stirred up and when things are not, you're going to have to surrender control of your life. The tendency and the nature of many of us, if not most of us, if not all of us, is every day wrestle God for control of the stool, the throne in our lives. Things were pretty stirred up in Hezekiah's life, and there were five truths, five things that when they got stirred up, he practiced. And when he practiced them, he surrendered control to God. the first thing he did is that he turned to the Lord. When your back is against the wall, you've heard that kind of report, I want to encourage you to turn, not away from the Lord, but to turn toward the Lord. The second key is that he prayed. Don't wait to get spiritual. Don't wait to get righteous to pray. Pray to become more spiritual and to become right in relationship again with God. As a younger believer, I felt like I had to get better before I could pray. So I wouldn't pray. I would tell the Lord, and I would hear myself in my thoughts tell the Lord, well, I'm not good enough to pray. Let me stop doing this, this, and this, and then I'll start praying again, and you can answer my prayers. You see, friend, in times of trouble, when your faith is needed most, that's the time to surrender control. And it begins by surrendering how you've been living your life. See, if you've been prayerless, now's the time to pray. If ever you've needed to pray, it's now. Well, Pastor, I'm a hypocrite. Well, welcome to the club. Because every one of us can attest to the fact that some days we're here when we should be here. Every day we wake up and realize how we fall short of the glory of God, and that's thankfully why Jesus Christ came and died for our sins. So here's the first two keys. He turned to the Lord. This morning, if you're hurting and you're broken, and you're broken a lot, and broken is not working in your life, I want to encourage you to just turn to the Lord. It's pretty simple. It's kind of hard though, because you got condemnation and stuff you're going to have to turn away from, but just simply turn. And if you don't turn, you're going to burn. Some of you feel the flames right now. It's really hot over in this section. I can feel it. He turned. He prayed. And then he asked the Lord to remember. That's the third key. He said, Lord, remember. Remember how I walked a life faithful and devout? Lord, remember how I did what was good and right in your eyes? As I was writing this, I remembered a song we used to sing a lot. It was called Do Lord. Any of you sing that song, Do Lord? Hallelujah, we're going to have some studio participation now. Do Lord, oh do Lord, oh do you remember me? Do Lord, oh do Lord, oh do you remember me? Do Lord, do, oh do you remember me? And the Lord right now, he's looking at some of you and he's like, never seen you before in my life. Now, I hate to tell you what you already know about yourself, but while we're there, the fact is, it's hard for most of us to say, hey, look at all the things I've done for you, Lord. Look at how I've been devout. Look at how I've done things that are good in your eyes. So when we don't have any faithfulness for him to look at, what do? I'm not to the five keys. I'm only to the third one. Pastor, I've turned, I've prayed, but I don't have anything good for the Lord to remember. I don't have any faithfulness. That's when you say, Lord, if you can't see and remember any of my faithfulness, look at, see, and remember your faithfulness. Look at Jesus on the cross for me. I'm the one he had on his mind. So, turn, pray, ask the Lord to remember, and then weep. Notice he didn't just cry, he wept bitterly. It means that he was very human, like you and I. He got in touch with some very real feelings when he was told that his days were numbered. Have you ever been told that the days of your marriage, the days of your finances, your children, your potential, and your dream were numbered? And it seemed like all the circumstances in your life jumped on top of that and confirmed it? Sure you have. If you live in this world, you're going to get to that place and you're going to feel a deepness of hurt. And again, you're going to be broken. So don't kid yourself. Tough times are part of life and they cause us a lot of pain. And guess what comes with a lot of pain? Yes. Very real feelings of bitterness. And if we're not careful, we can become bitter and be bitter and not even know it. Notice the progression. The progression here is that he turned, he prayed, he asked the Lord to remember his faithfulness, he wept bitterly, and then he was healed. The bitterness had to go so that the healing would come. Maybe that's why some of us haven't been healed, because we've been bitter. It's not that we set out to be bitter. In fact, we've been taught that believers don't allow themselves to be bitter. But when we really get honest with ourselves and look in the mirror and let the Holy Spirit speak to us, we are bitter. Party of one, your table is ready. We're bitter. I think it would be good for all of us to ask ourselves this day, Lord, have I truly turned to you? Have I really prayed? Have I called on your faithfulness to remember it? And God, have I taken time to ask you if I'm bitter? There's a good chance I could be, because I think the Hebrew writer says it well. When in chapter 12, verses 12 through 15, he writes and says, therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy, because without holiness, no one will see the Lord. So how do you make sure that you strengthen your feeble arms and weakness and your weak knees? How do you make all the level paths or make paths in your life level and straight so that the lame may not be disabled but healed? Here's how you do it. You make every effort to live in peace with all men and women and to be holy. Because without the holiness of the Lord, your circumstance won't see the Lord. And then you have to see to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. Some of us have a root called bitterness, and it's growing, and it's slowly defiling everything and everyone. That was his key. That was his fourth key, and it was very key, and it came right before his healing. He turned, he prayed, he asked the Lord to remember his faithfulness. He wept bitterly. And when all of that was gone, the fifth key, we're back to the beginning. He trusted. He said, Lord, here you go. I got this bad report, Lord, so I'm turning to you. I'm praying for my healing. I'm asking you to remember not just your faithfulness, but mine. Not just mine, but yours. I've wept over this chair in my life. I've fought for control over this chair in my life. But now, Lord, I give it to you. And I trust you with all of my heart. And I refuse from this point on to lean into my own understanding. But now, God, I'm going to acknowledge you. There you go. You can have the chair. You can have the stool. And when he did, that's the moment God got in the middle of his stirred up life. And God healed him. I'd like to ask you to stand this morning. I want you to take the controls in your life. I want you to take the thing that is symbolic in your life of your control and of your way. Today we've used a stool to signify who's in charge in your life. Today, with heads bowed and eyes closed, I'd like for every person in this room to take this moment to turn to the Lord. I want every one of you in the middle of a stirred up life with things stirred up to turn to the Lord. I'm going to ask some questions, and I'm going to ask you just to raise your hand. I'm going to ask you to put it up. I'm going to ask you to put it right back down. If you're here this morning and your life and all the things in it is stirred up, I want you just to raise your hand. Put it up and put it right back down and just say, Pastor Greg, my life is full of stuff that's all stirred up. Yeah, just you're putting it up and you're putting it right back down. Hands are going up all over. Things are just really stirred up in my life right now. And it's messy. It's not that I'm a bad person. It's not that I'm a bad believer. It's just that things are stirred up. Many hands have gone up. With still heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm going to ask every person right now to turn to the Lord and to pray. I want you to ask the Lord to just come into your heart. I want you to ask the Lord to come in and wash your heart, to forgive you of everything in your heart that's not right with Him. If your heart has bitterness and you've wept many days over it, then I want you to ask the Lord to forgive you for those bitter feelings. I want you to confess that and then ask him to wash that while he's there. With heads bowed and eyes closed, we're just asking the Lord right now to remember his faithfulness. In the middle of turning to the Lord and praying, we've asked him, oh God, forgive us for our sins. And now we're turning our lives over to him. First, we're going to ask him, oh God, remember your faithfulness. Remember it, Lord, in my life. Remember it, Lord, in my circumstance. Remember it in my feelings. Remember it right now, I pray. And now finally, hear yourself give the Lord control. Here, Lord, are the controls of my life. Here's the stool. I give control of my life to you. I'm going to get in the back seat. Be still. Be quiet. And just know that you are God. And just know with confidence that you're going to make my path straight. In Jesus' name. And everybody said. Some of us today turned our lives to the Lord for the very first time. Well, Pastor, you didn't lead me in a prayer. No, I led you in prayer. I led you to a point that all you had to do was ask the Lord to come in your life. And see, from this day forward, God can have the controls of your life and God can be the Lord of your life. If you invited the Lord into your heart for the very first time, then welcome to us who've asked him in many times. That's the beginning of many more times that you're going to invite him to take the controls of your life. If you turned your life over to the Lord today for the very first time, this is the first time you turned to the Lord, then I want to tell you, congratulations. That's awesome. That's the greatest thing that could have happened today, is that you turn your life over to the Lord. Hey, if that was you, raise your hand real fast and say, you know what? That was me. That was me. I see some hands going up. I turned my life over to the Lord today for the very first time. Well, this church family cares about this moment in your life, and we're going to invite you to come back to the cafe area. And in there is our guest information center, and we're going to be there to meet you with a new Bible and a gift that teaches you now what to do next with your faith, how to grow in this and become a part. Wow. We knew it was coming. We just didn't know what week. Become a part of this church family. You know what? I love you. God loves you. God bless you. We'll see you Wednesday. Bye-bye for now.